And at Jesus' baptism, the Holy Spirit, we just heard, appeared and sang about. The Holy Spirit appeared to Jesus in the form of a dove and anointed Jesus for his upcoming ministry. In our Acts passage, Paul meets a group of believers in Ephesus who've been baptized, but were baptized in accordance with the baptism of repentance that John commanded, but they had not yet received the Holy Spirit. So what is the connection between baptism and the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Well, we often say that when we receive the Holy Spirit, it is the equivalent to becoming a Christian. We can't profess faith in Jesus Christ without the Holy Spirit's work in our hearts. And we know that when we receive Christ, we receive the Holy Spirit because it is the gift that he promised, and that is God dwelling with us forever. So if you are a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit. And if you have the Holy Spirit, then you have a spiritual gift. And we will acknowledge the spiritual giftedness of some particular individuals later on this morning as we ordain Scott and install him and Tasha as elders on the session. And like Paul did, we will use the laying on of hands as a sign of blessing and entrusting them to the promises of God, and a sign of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Now, all Christians are spirit-filled. All Christians are charismatic, meaning that we have grace gifts. That's what that word means. Charisma, grace gifts, that we have been given grace. So we all have gifts. But we don't necessarily, it takes some of us a while to discover what they are or to know how to use them. And we have to be taught by the Spirit. And too often, we quench the Spirit because, unlike Jesus, as I told the children, we don't always live by the way the Holy Spirit wants us to live. We don't see the Holy Spirit operating in our lives because we won't let the Holy Spirit operate in our lives. And so Paul exhorts us in 1 Thessalonians 5 to not quench the Spirit. Do not quench the Spirit, he says. And then in Ephesians 4, he says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit, because we make the Holy Spirit sad when we just don't do what the Holy Spirit wants us to do. And we say, Holy Spirit, I don't want you to be in control of my life. I want to do things my way. And we grieve the Holy Spirit and we quench the Holy Spirit. So when we refuse to surrender to the Holy Spirit, who is good and true and right and empowers us to be the best us that we can be. At Sarah Beth's baptism a couple of weeks ago, we were reminded that the Spirit works in us long before we're ever aware of it, even before we are able to acknowledge our need for God. Although I think children are more aware of Jesus than we will ever know. I think they have a very special connection to Jesus, and Jesus speaks their language. But it is the Holy Spirit that brings us to that place of awareness. There is a difference between the work of the Spirit in our lives prior to our confessing our faith, our acknowledgement of our need for Jesus Christ, and after we profess faith in Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit was active in the lives of those disciples in the book of Acts because they were able to say, we're sorry for our sins. They made that baptism of repentance. They confessed their sins, and they could only do that because the Holy Spirit was at work in their lives, even though they'd never heard of a Holy Spirit. They didn't know who the Holy Spirit was. But the Holy Spirit had led them to a place where they could obey and where they could believe in Jesus when they learned about Jesus. When Paul taught them about Jesus, they got it. And that's because the Holy Spirit had already been working in their lives, had illuminated them and prepared them to receive Jesus when they were told about Jesus. Water baptism is a sign of the Spirit's work, but baptism is not a magic act in which the Spirit is imparted. However, without the Spirit, water baptism is simply getting wet. Luke gives examples in Acts of the Spirit coming upon people before they were baptized with water and after they were baptized with water. Sometimes it came right away, and sometimes it came a little bit later. as they were taught, the Spirit showed himself and showed power. And again, as we were reminded when Sarah Beth was baptized, that baptism is something done to us. It's something that we receive, not something that we do. That it is God's gift to us. Baptism is a public profession that allows the Spirit's work to be manifest. Baptism isn't merely a sign of salvation, but it is a sign of discipleship. It says, I am committing to follow my life like Jesus wants me to live. I'm committed to following Jesus. And in the case of Sarah Beth, we all promised, along with Dorothy and Brandon, that we are going to help Sarah Beth as long as she's here and as long as we are connected to her and connected with Brandon and Dorothy, that we're going to help her to be a disciple of Jesus so that when she is able, that she can profess faith and follow Jesus. Later on this morning, our officers will take vows in accordance with their office. And again, the members will be asked to affirm those vows. If we take these vows seriously, it shouldn't surprise us if we start to notice, or others notice, or we notice in others, that the Holy Spirit is at work, the action of the Holy Spirit in our lives and through our lives. Indeed, the presence of the Holy Spirit should have a visible impact in our lives. We shouldn't be the same people that we were day by day, year by year. We ought to be more like Jesus, because that's what the Holy Spirit does in our lives. The Spirit makes us more and more like Jesus. Repentance is preparatory to the reception of the full indwelling of the presence of the Holy Spirit. When we repent, we acknowledge that Jesus is Lord, and we get off the, that means getting off the throne of our lives and letting Jesus have his rightful place to work within us to accomplish his goals on earth. Matthew Henry goes so far to say that if we do not submit to the Holy Ghost, we are baptized to no purpose and have received the grace of God in vain. He goes on to say, it is also an inquiry that we often make, not only to whose honor we were born, but into whose service we were baptized, that we may study to answer the ends of both our birth and of our baptism. Let us often consider unto what we were baptized, that we may live into our baptism. Repenting and being sorry for our sins is a good thing, but how much better is it to know that we have the power through the presence of the Holy Spirit not to continue in bondage to those same patterns of sin, but to live a transformed life in which we can do the will of God, that we have received such unconditional love and abundance that we can give it away to others, especially those that are hard to love, but who so desperately need love. Jesus did not need to repent at his baptism, but he was baptized on our behalf, for he would take all of our sin upon himself. He did, however, fully submit to the Father's will and lived in the Holy Spirit. Philippians 2 tells us that Christ emptied himself. We affirmed that on Christmas Eve. And Jesus said that he did not come to do his own will, but only what the Father showed him. We see the proof of Jesus living by the Holy Spirit right away. When he is driven into the wilderness, if we had read just one more verse in Mark, we'd have said immediately the Holy Spirit drove him out in the wilderness to be tempted. It happened right away. And Jesus lived by the Holy Spirit because he overcame all of those temptations successfully. The disciples in Acts were baptized because they were repentant. The fact that they could repent means the Holy Spirit was at work in their lives. But when they were baptized in the name of Jesus, the Holy Spirit came upon them, empowering them for ministry as well, with gifts of prophecy and speaking in tongues. The Holy Spirit is not an anomalous power that we can manipulate to get what we want or to do cool tricks. The Holy Spirit is a person with the right to our lives for the service to and the glory of Almighty God. To be filled with the Spirit is to say, my life for Christ's. K.S. Wuss says that the Christian life is not a mere let go and let God affair. It is a take hold with God business. Take hold with God. It is not mere rest in God, an existence somewhat like that of a jellyfish floating in the warm currents of the Gulf Stream. God is not developing jellyfish Christians. God wants to develop heroes, Christian men and women of moral stamina and spiritual power. We can ask to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. The person of the Holy Spirit is always present with us, but we can ask the Spirit to fill us anew so that we can resist sin and temptation, so that we can be equipped for the things that we know that God is calling us to do. We cannot be successful servants of God in our own strength. We need to be empowered and guided by the Holy Spirit. Jesus wants us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's why he gave the Spirit to us as a gift. He who submitted to the Spirit gave us the Spirit so that we can live as he lived and even do greater things, Jesus said. Greater works you can do than I. That's pretty amazing. Let us pray. Jesus Christ, we thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit, and we pray for a fresh filling and fresh anointing that we may resist those stubborn patterns of sin in our lives, to break free of the bondage that we have allowed ourselves to be enslaved in. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you would fill us so that we can be more and more like Jesus every day, and so that we can do the work that you're calling us to do and even be able to discern that work to which you are calling us. Lord, we thank you for the Spirit who leads us into all truth and applies the Word of God to our hearts, who is always with us so that we know that we are not alone and not left abandoned. Help us not to grieve or quench the Spirit's activity in our lives. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our hymn is in the blue book, number 443, O Christ, the Great Foundation.